Yeah, definitely edit that out.
Is this real life?
Hey, real life podcast listeners. Even if you are alone in your English learning, know that today, right now, in your earbuds, you are joined by thousands of English learners all around the world searching to do the same thing you are. If you want to know more about Real Life English or this podcast, then check out our website at reallifebh.com. Aw, yeah, what's going on? Happy Tuesday. That means another episode of the Real Life English Podcast, the only English podcast guaranteed to improve your taste in music.
What is your taste in music?
So taste in music is like what type of music you like. My name is Trevor with Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, practical, and natural way to learn English. So save some time and learn Real Life English while you're... Well, you know what? Let's talk about when you shouldn't listen to a podcast.
Or when
it's
not
appropriate.
Yeah. Okay.
And so you'd say, like, the only times you shouldn't listen to a podcast is when you're, what, on your motorcycle.
Yeah, that can be quite dangerous.
And bicycle as well. And what else?
I don't know, maybe if you were in some kind of a business meeting.
Yeah.
Not appropriate.
You could probably listen to it sometimes at work, depending on the situation.
I know a lot of my students listen to our podcast at their work.
Yeah, maybe in the shower might not be a good idea.
No, I don't think so, unless you want to get electrocuted.
Yeah, so if you have the earbuds in.
Exactly.
But you can play it like with the speakers while in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe while swimming, probably not a good idea.
No, I wouldn't agree with swimming either.
Anything else?
I think every other situation in your life, you can listen to this podcast.
Or other podcasts as well.
Yeah, of course.
Cool. Alright, so I'm joined in the studio today here with a man who has no need for a stove. He just yells at his food until it cooks. Takes about 1 minute.
So but I'm not faster. Much of a yeller, man.
Yeah, so that's why the only time you hear Chad yelling is when he's cooking his food. So how you doing today?
I'm feeling pretty good, man. I'm feeling pretty... Yeah, feeling nice and energized today.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day in sunny Brazil. How are you going today?
Yeah, doing good.
You look a little bit different today, man.
Yeah, so I got a haircut last night and chopped off a bunch of my hair by one of our good friends named Simon. And he is from Ireland and lives in Belo Horizonte. And he's an expert hairdresser. And if you're interested in practicing your English while getting a haircut, you can have a haircut with Simon. He has a studio at Mangabeiras. It's called Tiffs, if you pronounce it in English. Portuguese pronunciation is Chifis. And so his Facebook page is facebook.com/SimonRileyHairdressing. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes if you want to check that out. So just want to give a shout out to Simon. Thanks for the haircut.
And yeah, special thanks to Simon for making Trevor no longer look like a bum.
What are you trying to say, man?
Your hair is pretty shaggy, dude.
Yeah, so what is bum and what is shaggy mean?
So bum is probably not a very nice word to say to people, but a bum is generally a homeless person.
Yep.
And shaggy is...
What a homeless person would look like.
Yeah, shaggy is generally used for hair, when your hair is kind of long and you don't really brush your hair is very shaggy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also refer to a person's attire, like their clothes, to be very shaggy when they're kind of dirty and sometimes torn and ripped.
Right, so if you've seen Scooby-Doo, one of the characters' name is Shaggy.
Yeah, Shaggy.
So anyways, if you guys stick around to the end of this episode, we'll show you how you can get the most bang for your buck with this podcast.
Oh, what does bang for your buck mean?
So that means that you get great value for the money you paid.
For this podcast?
So since you're not paying anything, you must be getting enormous value. But so essentially, we're going to show you how you can learn as much as you can from this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Little tip.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to the news. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. So, what's going on, Chad?
I believe that there is going to be yoga this weekend.
That's right. Yeah, we have a yoga picnic.
It's going to be my second yoga.
Oh, so you're committing to going?
I am committing to going.
You're saying it live on the air?
Yeah.
All right. I'll roast you next time if you don't go.
What does roast mean?
Roast is make fun of you.
Okay. Could also be to roast a chicken.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where the slang comes from, is putting fire on you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And so also in the news is our good friend Josh, who was on the last podcast.
Yep.
Had an article about 11 things that he likes about living in Belarusanj, which is where Real Life English originates. And that article went viral. Got about over 2,500 shares.
Whoa.
And 20,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to see why Real Life English is located in BH, which is BH, the Brazilian pronunciation, and check out that article.
Which BH is short for Belo Horizonte.
Yeah. So you can check out that article in the show notes. We'll give you a link to that.
Yeah.
And so there's also some stuff going down in Brazil.
What does going down mean?
Just a slang way to say happening.
Yeah.
So what's going down in Brazil right now?
Well, there's a lot of protesting going on in the streets. A lot of Brazilians are up in arms.
Okay. What does up in arms mean?
Up in arms is a term we use when generally like the people are angry about something. It's generally related to politics.
And protesting.
Protesting, yeah. So to be up in arms is when you're very angry about something. And the people are up in arms about just the government here. I think what triggered this was a rise in the bus fare, 20 centavos. And
20 cents.
20 cents. And people hit the streets and they're protesting against government, Dilma, the president of Brazil.
Yeah.
So that's kind of local news, I should say.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on in the social media world about this. I don't know how much is being covered in the real news.
Yeah, I'm not too sure.
But anyways, so that's what's going on in Brazil right now. Some riots, some protesting. So anyways, let's move on to the shout-outs. You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my hands. Alright, so we got a few shout-outs here today. Some people sent some nice emails to us. And the first one is from Victor Cordero from the Dominican Republic, and he says he's currently working in Than Hoa, Vietnam. So he says, I'm an industrial engineer and passionate about learning different languages. I'm enjoying every single podcast from you. A round of applause for you. Keep it up. Good job.
Oh, yeah. What does he mean by round of applause?
So a round of applause is when an audience claps for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's another way of saying it. I don't know why we say a round.
Yeah. Around, like maybe like a round, like as if like a round of drinks, like everyone's doing it.
Okay.
Maybe.
Could be. Something like that. Okay. The next one is from Stoichka Varbanova. And she says, thank you very much, Trevor. You've done everything from your heart and you put a lot of love out there for the people. All of us feel it. Simply amazing.
Wow. That's a pretty good message. Yeah. Some good feedback.
It's very nice. That was about my article, 30 Uncommon Ways of Learning English.
Mm.
That was a comment for that.
Okay.
And so that was a pretty popular article. It's very joking manner. Mm. So we can give you a link to that.
Give us an example of one of the uncommon ways to learn English.
So the first item on the list is to go to jail in a foreign country.
There you go. Why didn't I do that in Brazil? That would have been awesome to learn Portuguese.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about getting arrested for something here so that I can improve my Portuguese.
Oh my God.
Okay, so we got one more from one of our Twitter followers. You can follow us at Real Life Ing, and we also just got 35,000 followers. This is from Iago Santiago from Sao Paulo, Brazil, and he says, I am so thankful for Real Life English tips. The posts are practical and easy for learning.
Perfect. Nice. Do you know what article he was referring to?
That was just a general tweet from all the tweets that we give out.
Okay.
So every day, send out jokes, quotes, grammar exercises, TOEFL exercises, slang, phrasal verbs. So lots of little tips, quick tips to learn English.
Plus all the articles and the podcasts and videos, right?
And images, preposition pictures and stuff like that. So lots of tweets going on.
Excellent.
So you got some shout-outs for the Facebook group?
Yeah, I've got a few shout-outs from the Facebook group. These are two Brazilians, and they're participating a lot in the Facebook community and giving people a lot of good feedback. And they are Cecilia B. Silveira. And she's been giving us a lot of good value in the group, some really awesome comments. So thanks a lot, Cecilia. And the next person is Jordano Santos. And he is from the state of Minas Gerais, where we are right now. But Jordano is a postman.
Okay, cool.
And I think he just got an English certificate. So hey, congratulations, man.
Awesome.
Maybe one day you can come by Belo Horizonte to the Real Life English Party.
Aw, oh, yeah.
Aw, oh, yeah. Thanks a lot.
All right, so let's move on to the question. Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. So Chad, you said that one of your students had a question for you. You want to help enlighten the rest of our listeners?
Yes. The question that my student had was, what is the difference between a little and a few?
Okay, so what's the difference there?
So the difference is that a few we use with countable nouns. Mm-hmm. So I can say a few people, a few chairs, a few countries. Or if I want to use a little, it is for uncountable nouns. So we've only got a little time, mm-hmm. a little money, a little coffee. But extending on that, some people have problems using just few and just little without the ah. And that generally gives like a negative kind of feeling behind it. For example, if I had a party for my birthday and someone said, yeah, it was pretty good, a few people came. Okay. There were a few people there.
Awesome.
So it sounds kind of like I was happy with the turnout.
Mm-hmm. What does turnout mean?
Turnout would be the amount of people that go to a party or an event.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good turnout.
Yeah.
But if someone asked me, Chad, how was the party? And I said, oh, you know, man, few people went.
Yeah.
Sounds more negative.
Yeah, he's not as happy with the result.
No. So that's the difference between few and little.
Yeah, and so you want to make sure that, again, little is for stuff that is not countable. And so sometimes you can use it a wrong way. So mm-hmm. for example, and say, oh, there was little people at the party last night.
Little people, man?
If someone says there were little people, what does that make you think of?
I think little people, I would think of midgets.
Yeah, so that's a dwarf, or I don't know what the politically correct term for
I think little people.
Yeah, I think that might be it, yeah.
Yeah, a dwarf? I don't think so.
Nah, I don't know. So anyways, alright, moving on to the expressions for this week. So, what was our theme, Mr.
Okay,
Chad?
Okay, so, theme of last week was annoyance. Annoyance.
Okay.
This is a common question I get as well, is the difference between bored and annoyed.
Mm.
What's the difference?
So bored is when you have nothing to do and you can't think of anything fun and you're just kind of sitting there, nothing to do.
Uninterested, yeah. Right? Something that's not interesting.
Yeah. Maybe you have a lot of options, but none of them sound good.
Mm-hmm.
And annoyed is when some kind of noise or person, like maybe touching you, is frustrating you, it's making you upset because
a
it won't stop.
Person touching you?
Yeah, if they're like poking you.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
It doesn't have to be from sound, is okay. What I was trying to imply. Come on, Chad, stop touching my butt. You're annoying me.
It means like irritation, right?
Yeah.
Irritated by something. Okay, enough rambling.
Shenanigans.
Let's move on to the annoyance expressions, which are to walk on eggshells, add fuel to the fire, blow a fuse, eat someone alive, or to give someone a piece of your mind. Okay, so the first one, to walk on eggshells. What does that mean, Trevor?
So in the United States, we would generally say to walk on thin ice.
Mm.
Okay, so it means kind of the same thing where you need to tread carefully, to walk carefully, because people are irritated with you. So you need to make sure that you don't take it to another level, to make sure you don't mess up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's pretty much the same expression, because when I say walk on eggshells, the expression tends to be related to someone else. Like, I have to walk on eggshells around my boss.
Okay.
Would you say that?
Walking on thin ice is different.
It's a little different in that case,
yeah.
Right? But let me just quickly explain that. So to walk on eggshells around someone is, maybe I've done something bad, and I want to kind of just avoid my boss and just make him not aware that I'm around. Because he gets angry very quickly if he sees me.
So you have to walk very carefully, not make much noise, kind of thing. Yeah, so walking on thin ice would be more if like you got in trouble for a few things, and it's like one more thing that you do wrong and you're out of here. You're in big trouble and you're very close to breaking the ice below you, breaking the level of tolerance someone has for you. So my mom would say this to me a lot when I was little. I'd be doing some things wrong and she would be saying, "You're on thin ice, mister."
Yeah, so that's the difference between walking on eggshells and walking on thin ice. So if you've done something bad to someone, you're probably going to be walking on eggshells around that person. Okay, the next one is to add fuel to the fire. So to add fuel to the fire, what does that mean?
So this is when there's some kind of argument or disagreement or annoyance, and instead of putting out the fire.
What does put out mean?
It means like to extinguish it, to stop the fire. To add fuel to the fire is like throwing gas at a fire, which is obviously going to make it bigger.
Yeah, so figuratively, like you said, is if I was really angry and I am figuratively the fire, and if Trevor was to say something to make me even angrier, he would be adding fuel to the fire. My fire would get bigger.
And so it's like, you're not helping the situation, you're just adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah. So using that in an example, here in Brazil, there are some, like we mentioned at the start of the podcast, some peaceful protesting going on against the government and the president and all that kind of stuff. But when the police start using violence, a little bit of aggression, you can say the police are adding fuel to the fire.
Right, because it just makes people want to protest even more, get more upset, more riled up.
Riled up, what does that mean?
So that's just another way to say get really aggressive, excited in like in an aggressive way.
Like riots.
Like riled up, maybe you want to get riled up before you play a sport.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're right, it's different.
As well. Maybe. Not necessarily angry.
Okay. It's like, in Australia, I think would say to be amped up.
Yeah. I would say I'm amped to like go snowboarding.
Okay, cool.
Excited. Another way to say excited. I think that's actually a video game, amped snowboarding.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyways.
Never played it. Next one, I think it is, I'm not sure if it's common in the US as well. I kind of thought this might have been more of a British term, and that is to blow a fuse.
Yeah, so it sounds perfectly normal to me.
Okay.
And to blow a fuse is, imagine a stick of dynamite, and the fuse is what you light on fire, and it slowly goes to the dynamite until it explodes. And so if you say to blow a fuse, you can imagine everything is fine, and then once that fuse is lit, it's about to blow up. So if you say blow a fuse, then you've triggered an explosion.
Yeah, what does triggered mean in this case?
Yeah, we said that earlier. So triggered is like a gun. You pull the trigger to shoot the gun. So a trigger can mean to start something.
Yeah, exactly. To trigger. So yeah, to blow a fuse is just to get really angry, suddenly like to explode. Have you ever made anyone blow a fuse?
Yeah, but I'd rather not talk about it. At least the first thing that comes to mind.
I ride a motorcycle here in Brazil, and one day I was riding to class, and I was really late, and I had class at one my student's office, and her cousin would drive there as well. So I was like going there really quickly, and on the way I may have hit a few cars accidentally with my handlebars. Like I hit the mirror, like the side mirror, and I was like, shit, and when I got there, the other student arrives like, "Oh, thanks for breaking my side mirror on my way to class today." So she kind of blew our fuse with me.
Wow. Yeah. You broke the mirror, huh?
I just cracked the mirror.
Okay.
I replaced it for her.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that's to blow a fuse. The next one is to eat someone alive. And this is not sexual. In Portuguese, they use this sexually.
As opposed to like eating someone dead?
It's just because in Portuguese, I know they have a sexual term to eat someone. you know? Yeah,
we have the same term, but it means a little bit different, and we have to say out.
Okay.
We're not going to go any further than that.
So to eat someone alive would be, I think of, again, a situation with, like, your boss. If you did something wrong and he eats you alive is when he just, like, yells at you. And he's really angry and he just shows that anger.
Gives you a hard time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so would it be just yelling at you?
Yeah, I don't think it has to do with physical aggression.
No.
Physical.
You know, I can imagine who would eat someone alive, probably, besides a cannibal. policeman.
Yeah.
If he's angry, security guard, anyone with
especially
authority.
Especially people at the protests, at the riots.
Yeah. Yeah, it generally has something to do with authority, right? Mm-hmm. That's pretty simple, that one. Last one is to give someone a piece of your mind. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. What does that mean, Trevor?
So, this is generally when you want to argue with someone. You think they're wrong, you're right, and generally say, I'm going to give that person a piece of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just means that you think you're right and you want to argue with that person and mm-hmm. show that you're smarter, that you know what's right and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Usually in an aggressive way.
Yeah, yeah. So with the current events happening in Brazil right now, using this expression, I could say the Brazilian people want to give their government a piece of their mind. Just to tell them about their annoyance, why they're so irritated and they're doing that through protest.
Mm-hmm.
Giving the government a piece of their mind.
Cool.
Yep. And that concludes the 5 expressions about annoyance.
Cool. So let's move on to the quick tips, tricks, and or funny joke section.
Oh, yeah.
Alright, so starting off with a quick tip is that I've noticed a lot of people, I'm not sure, use our notes for each podcast.
It's interesting.
So if you download this through iTunes, then you'll see that on your iPhone or iPod, that there's a lot of tips there, mm-hmm. as well as on our website, reallifebh.com. And what we do is we give you a big list of words to know, which is everything that we say in the podcast that we think a non-native speaker might have trouble with,
mm-hmm.
that we don't clarify within the actual podcast. Mm-hmm.
So what would be your best advice for following this podcast, all of our listeners out there? If you weren't a native speaker, how would you make the most of this podcast?
So what I would do is look at the show notes first.
Okay.
And make sure I understand all the words to know.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of check to see. And that will prepare you to have the best experience while listening.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll reinforce the word in your head, mm-hmm. give you a real life example,
mm-hmm.
and also prepare you for any jokes.
Okay.
Because if we said something jokingly and you didn't know what the word was, you'll think, why are they laughing?
Yeah.
And so maybe if you don't think we're funny, it's because you have a small vocabulary. Or maybe we're just not that funny.
But yeah, great advice. So yeah, just check out the notes before you listen. And I think it would be a lot more advantageous for your English learning.
And then give it a check afterwards as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so we also have like a section for the joke as well, to give you a tip on the joke to prepare you for it.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the shout-outs, articles we've talked about, etc. So everything's in the show notes, reallifebh.com, or in the iPod. Or other MP3 player. Alright, so let's move on to the joke for today. So the joke is by one of the smartest comedians of all time, George Carlin.
Oh, nice.
And at least I think it's by him. And his joke is, the reason why Santa is so jolly is because he knows where all the bad girls live.
So what does jolly mean?
So jolly is just happy.
Yeah.
Full of joy.
I think the only time that I use jolly would be in reference to Santa Claus.
Yeah, I think it's an older term. No.
Yeah.
It's kind of goes in hand with Santa saying, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, yeah. He's a very jolly. When I think of jolly, I always think of a fat person.
Yeah.
You think so?
I think more of a chubby person.
Chubby, yeah. Oh, so what's the difference between fat and chubby?
So chubby is It's more of a jolly way of saying fat. It's like a nicer, friendlier, warmer way of saying overweight.
Yeah.
And
it's probably like not really fat. It's probably when you're just a little fat.
Yeah. It's more of just a little bit fat. And so why would Santa be jolly? Because he knows where the bad girls live.
Because bad... So bad in this case could be either what a normal person would think would be someone who does, a child who doesn't do good things.
Yeah.
But bad can also have a meaning that it's that person likes to have a lot of sex.
Yeah. Bad can be very sexual. And same with naughty. Mm-hmm. Naughty even more so.
Yeah, yeah, naughty.
But the funny thing is that the song of Santa Claus is, he's checking the list of people who are naughty and nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he knows where all the naughty girls live.
So maybe he pays a visit to all the naughty girls.
He doesn't bring them presents, but he gives them something else.
Hey man, you're not going to get a present from Santa Claus this year.
Well, as long as he gives me something.
That was another joke from Real Life English.
Yeah, some real life jokes. Alright, so that about does it for today's podcast. We're going to play you out with a song by The Dirty Heads, which is a band from my hometown, Huntington Beach, California. And this is a song about how they grew up and their different tastes in music and about how all the different artists they wanted to be just like. And finally they've grown up and they found they've got their own sound. So they're just talking about the process.
And how would you describe their sound, their musical genre? Is it, it's kind of like
surf, rock, reggae-ish.
A little bit of like rappy as well, yeah, some of the lyrics.
Kind of hip-hoppy as well, the way that they talk or sing.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man.
So, enjoy. And so thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the Real Life English community. If you want more podcasts, some transcripts, go to reallifebh.com/podcasts and sign up and get access to 10 free podcasts with transcripts and start learning some real life English.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, Bob Marley was the tune when little Jay was in the womb. My mom had put the headphones on her belly, film me move. And every Jimi Hendrix riff, I'd give her a little kick, just to let her know to turn it up a little bit. And please, when I go up, can I sound like Police? That's what I was thinking while I'm praying on my knees. But now that I'm grown, I found a sound of my own. I'm in the studio now and I feel like I'm home. So can you feel it?
Yeah, I'm like six damn strings, never sounded so appealing. Can you feel it? Yeah, I'm like, once you got the mic, you better sing like you believe. Well, like you believe. Well, like you believe. Well, like you believe. Well, like you believe.
I saw yesterday Nigeria and Tai Chi were playing.
Tai Chi?
Yeah.
That's a country?
Yeah.
That's like a martial art, yoga type practice.
Isn't it
Taiwan? Tai Chi's not a country.
Tahiti? What is it?
It could be Tahiti.
I don't know. In Portuguese, they'll say Tai Chi. I'm not sure what that means in that case.
I don't know.
We can just cut this part out.
Tai Chi is like...
Yeah, yeah. I know what Tai Chi is. When I said it, I was like, that doesn't even sound like a country.